Okay, good morning, everybody. I'm going to be speaking today about a minhag that people have to eat only pas yisrael during Aseres Metshuva, and related things to that. To get us started, the Mishnah says that a person is not allowed to eat bread that was baked by a goy. That's called pas akum. If a goy bakes bread, you're not allowed to eat it. What came out was that there's two types of pas akum. Pas akum that was made by a plain goy, by your next-door neighbor, that's usher, you're not allowed to eat that. It's another kind of bread called pas palter, pas that was made by a baker, and that possibly you're allowed to eat. I'll tell you in a second whether you are or not. Why should bread of a baker be any different than bread made by your next-door neighbor? The reason is because the whole reason why the Chachamim asked us to eat pas akum is because they didn't want us to become too friendly with goyim. That could lead to chasnas, it could lead to intermarriage. A person can get so friendly with them that along the road, chas v'shalom, he could end up marrying a shiksa. And therefore, the Chachamim said, don't get so friendly with them. Now, that concern that you're going to be so friendly with them, and that'll lead you to be really get so chummy with this person, doesn't apply to a baker, because you have nothing to do with the baker. Nobody here has any connection when they walk into Tel Aviv Bakery and they buy something. They don't feel really close and friendly to the baker way in the back of it over there. But to your neighbor, if he gave you bread, he baked you a cake, then you'd feel closer to him, and that could lead to problems. So, there are two main opinions about what the din is about pas palter. The Shulchan Aruch says that he paskins that if a person doesn't have a choice, and the only thing that's available is pas palter, there's no pas yisrael, no pas made by yid available, he can eat pas palter. That's what the Shulchan Aruch says. And that's what Svarim do. The Ramah says that there is no isser at all to eat pas palter. And if you want to have, if a guy made bread, but it wasn't a guy who you know personally, but it's a guy who's just a baker and he just makes it for everybody, he doesn't do it for private people, it's not a private thing that your neighbor made it, the Ramah says, you could eat that, you could eat it no matter what. You don't have to be stocky. It doesn't make a difference, you could eat it no matter what. So, the Shulchan Aruch says that a person who is maker like the Ramah, he doesn't use the word Ramah, of course, but he says a person who's maker and eats pas palter all the time, that person during Aseres Metshuva should eat only pas yisrael. He should not be relying on the fact that you're allowed to eat pas palter. He should eat only pas yisrael. Now, where did that come from that during Aseres Metshuva we should be more machmir? Where does it come from that during Aseres Metshuva you should be more careful to only eat, you should follow the stricter opinion and only eat pas yisrael and not eat pas palter? So the answer is, it comes from Yerushalmi. Okay? Yerushalmi says, Rav Chiya told Rav, he said, really, I think it's a good idea that all year round, you should eat your chulin b'tahara. You should eat your chulin as if it's kachim, and eat it only if you're tahara and it's tahara. Pretend that this chulin is kachim, and only eat it b'tahara. I think it's a good idea, you should always do that. But if you're not so good, and you're not able to do that, it's a special thing to do that. If you're not able to do that, at least for 7 days a year, you should do that. That's what he said there. So what does that mean? What does it do with us? So the answer is, the Torah says, he says, you know, those 7 days that he meant, when he said for 7 days a year you should do that, he didn't mean, what did he mean when he said 7 days a year you should do that? He meant is, during Aseres Metshuva. There are 7 days between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. During those 7 days, you should eat your chulin as if they're kachim, and eat them only when you're tahar. He says, but the problem is that nowadays that's impossible. I mean, it's not. There's no way in the world that anybody could eat the chulin b'tahara. Everybody's tamei. Nobody has any idea how to eat chulin b'tahara. It's like hopeless. I mean, there's no way that a person could do what that Yerushalmi says. He says, so what you should do is. Find something else that you're not mechuyev to do, but that's a better thing to do, and during Aseres Metshuva, a person should do that. So, in the day of Yerushalmi, Rav Chiya told Rav that the better thing you should do is, you should eat chulin as if it's kosher. Eat chulin b'tahara. We can't do that one, so we found something else. So the Torah says, I have an idea, I know another thing you could do, and that is, you could be machmir to only eat pas yisrael. Don't eat pas palter, you should also eat pas yisrael. So let's pause for a second. Now, I'll tell you in a minute what that means. What does it mean that you eat pasisho? We'll find out some of the details, what that means to only eat pasisho. What it means is that really what's going on here is a person is supposed to be extra careful. Something that I'm not required to do, I'm going to be extra careful to do it. Which means is that if in your house you anyhow eat pasisho, or if you listen to me afterwards and you find that, you know, hey, really, not such a big deal to eat pasisho. The way we are and the way we live, it's not such a big deal to eat pasisho. You have to find something else to do. The point of the Yerushalmi is not specifically to eat pasisho. It doesn't say in the Yerushalmi you should eat pasisho. It says in the Yerushalmi you should be extra careful during Asher Yishimei Tshuva about something that you otherwise don't have to do, and you should be extra careful. So that means is, maybe you're a person who always eats Chol Stam, and for this week you can eat Chol Yisrael, or you can eat Yashan, or you're going to say, I'm going to be more makbid on Benon L'Chaveiro. You're going to find something. You can say, you know what? When I wear my tefillin, I'm not going to speak any varm b'tehillim when I'm wearing my tefillin during Asher Yishimei Tshuva. I'm going to make sure that I don't talk even during davening, even when you're allowed to talk. The point that the Yerushalmi is not specifically that you should pass the Torah. It doesn't say the Yerushalmi should pass the Torah. It says the Yerushalmi should b'chulim b'tara. The Torah says, but means you have to find something to be more makbid on. So, the minig is to be makbid on pass the Torah. That's how the Shulchan Aruch brings it. That's what the minig is. But really what's going on here is that a person has to say is, during Asher Yishimei Tshuva, you come to the Baruch Shalom and you say, Baruch Shalom, I want you to give me a good din. I want you to look at me favorably. So you should know, really, I'm a person who wants to be better. And I really would want to be better. You know, it's not so easy, but at least for this week I could show you that I really want to be better in whichever way. So Rav Chiya told me, she'd chul matara, and the Shulchan Aruch says, read the pasisrol, and every person has to find their way that they should do it. Now, back to Yerushalmi. Yerushalmi said for 7 days a year, you should eat chul matara, or we say you should eat pasisrol. Okay? There's a little bit of problem over here. Okay? How many days are in Aseret Yishimei Tshuva? There aren't 7 days in Aseret Yishimei Tshuva. There are 10 days. That's called Aseret Yishimei Tshuva. There are 10 days of Tshuva. Rosh Hashanah through Yom Kippur is 10 days. So why did he tell him to only do it for 7 days a year? Why didn't he tell him to do it for 10 days a year? That's not my question. It's Magen Avraham's question. He says, why did he tell him to do it for 10 days? It's for 7 days. It's not 7 days. He says, okay, Yom Kippur, he didn't have to tell him to eat Chul Matara. You don't eat on Yom Kippur. Okay, so we're down to 9 days. He says, but why did he tell him to do it for 7 days? You should tell him for 9 days a year, you should be makbid. Why did he tell him for 7 days? So the Magen Avraham says, you see from here, that it's poshut. It was poshut to your family that on Shabbos and on Yontif, a person would only eat chul b'tahara, or for us, would only eat pasisrol. It was partial to them that on Shabbos he would do that. And he was telling him, so not only should you do it on Shabbos and Yom Tov like you always did, of course on Shabbos and Yom Tov you eat chul b'tahara. He didn't have to tell him that. He said, but the other 7 days, the other 7 weekdays, you should also eat chul b'tahara or pasisrol. He was telling him, of course on Shabbos and Yom Tov you do, and that's what Commissioner Brewer brings it, that you should do that thing. On Shabbos and Yom Tov you should eat only pasisrol. I see a few people scratching their heads. He asked the Magen Avraham's question, and I'm sure that's what's following them, which is, wait a second, on Yom Kippur, you can't eat, so 1 day give off. Okay, and we say, Shabbos and Yom Tov, of course you have to do it. So Shabbos, 2 days at Rosh Hashanah, and Shabbos is 3 days, there's only 6 days left. So why did he tell him to not eat for 7 days a year? He said, 7 days of the year, don't eat, you should be makbid on this thing. He says, 7 days here, wait a second. If we said Shabbos and Yom Tov, he didn't have to even bother telling him. Okay, the Shabbos and Yom Tov, that's three, and Yom Kippur, so we're down to 6 days. So, the Magen Avraham says, the answer to that is, that this story happened with Reb Chiya. So, the Magen Avraham brings a raya that Reb Chiya lived in the time when they were Makadosh, the Chodesh, Al-Piriya, and they only had 1 day of Rosh Hashanah. They didn't have 2 days of Rosh Hashanah. So, the reason why he told him to do it for 7 days was because he had 1 day of Rosh Hashanah, 1 day of Shabbos Shuvah, 1 day of Yom Kippur, leaving him 7 days left from Asher Yishimei Tshuva. Yes. So he brings a raya that Reb Chiya didn't. Reb Chiya was before that time. Okay, then. So I'm not going to argue with Magen Avraham. We could look in the chart. No, I don't have to tell you. He brings a raya that Reb Chiya lived in time. They only had 1 day, and he did. That's what he said. That's right. I would think like that also. That's it. The question is, but I don't think that's what Magen Avraham said. Okay. That's a good. I was wondering about that. How come no one asked? I was afraid someone could ask that. That Tzion G'day is also in the middle, like today's. I mean, of all days. If I would be talking about this tomorrow, you'd be even thought of it. But today's Tzion G'day. I don't know. Tzion G'day, you're thinking of me. That's a good question. Okay, so let's talk a minute. Let's talk a little bit about. So now we know that there's this din to eat there's many to eat Pas Yisrael during a service mitzvah. And on Shabbos and Yontif also, Mishnah Berurah brings it like this, Magen Avraham, that on Shabbos and Yontif, every Shabbos and Yontif, you should eat Pas Yisrael. So what is included in Pas Yisrael? What are the things that you have to be makpid on to say, this thing, I need to eat Pas Yisrael? The answer is, it has to be something made of the five primary grains, wheat, rye, spelt, oats, and barley. It's made of one of those five grains. And it's a thing that I either always make hamotzi on it, or if I eat enough of it, I would have to make hamotzi. So it doesn't mean just bread. It means, let's say I have pizza. If I eat enough pizza, I have to make hamotzi, and that's included in pasta sauce. If I eat enough cookies, if I eat enough cake or crackers, all those things, if you eat enough of them, you make a meal out of them, you have to make hamotzi. Anything that you have to make hamotzi on, if you eat enough of it, that's a thing that needs, that in the rules of pasta sauce. So it does not include rice. Okay? If someone has rice cakes, they don't have to be pasta sauce because they're not made of the five grains. Okay? Doesn't include oatmeal, because oatmeal you don't make hamotzi on no matter how much you eat. So now, I'll mention a few things that there are questions about. Okay, and that there are different ways of looking at it. The first one is donuts. Donuts are made of flour and water, but donuts are not baked, donuts are fried. It's a question brought in Or Chaim, excuse me, in the Shulchan Aruch brings about whether you make hamotzi if you eat a donut. So we make on that din, we make mezonos on that food, and therefore we assume that there's no din of pas Yisrael on that food either. Again, the rule is, if it's a thing that if you eat enough of it, you make always make hamotzi, or if you eat enough of it, you make hamotzi, that's the food that needs to be pas Yisrael. What about wraps? Okay, wraps are these very thin doughs, or whatever you want to call them, and you wrap them around the food and you eat them. Okay, well, now is not the time to talk about that, because it's a brachas question, but whatever bracha you make on a wrap, if you make hamotzi on it, or if someone tells you, if you eat enough of this, you have to make hamotzi on it, then the din is, that needs pas Yisrael. If you're a person whose rav tells you that you should make a mezonos on it, and no matter how much you eat, you should always make a mezonos on it, that does not need to be pas Yisrael. It goes together. Whatever is hamotzi, could be hamotzi if you eat a lot of it, is the thing that needs to be pas Yisrael. What about pretzels? So one of the rules is, you only make hamotzi if something has a look of bread. It has to, turis din hama, turis hapas, has to look like bread. So big pretzels, I don't even mean just soft pretzels, I mean even like pretzel rods, those have turis din hama. Those would have to be pas Yisrael. Little pretzels, most people think that the very tiny little pretzel, don't, no matter how much you eat, you don't make hamotzi on it, those don't need to be pas Yisrael. Breakfast cereals. I don't know what they serve here in Yeshiva for breakfast, but if they serve Cheerios, okay, so Cheerios are also considered to not have teresas in a hammer. They're so tiny that they don't have any look like bread. Nobody thinks of them as bread. It's also not clear that they get baked altogether, the way they're cooked. So they don't need to be pasta. So now, before I go on to my last point, we'll stop again and think. If everything you just heard me say tells you, said, you know what? I know we get our bread from Tel Aviv. Well, they're pas Yisrael. And I heard all the other things you said about wraps and cereals and things like that. And guess what? At the end of the day, I figured out that guess what? I'm not going to do anything different for a service mitzvah because either everything I have is pas Yisrael or I don't eat pas Yisrael. I'm a good one. I have cereal for breakfast. I have a sandwich for lunch from Tel Aviv. And for supper, I have rice and chicken. I don't have to do anything. Okay? If that's how you walked out of here, then you missed the point. Okay? Remember, Yerushalmi didn't say you should eat pas Yisrael. Yerushalmi said the person for 7 days a year should be more makpid. Find something that you don't usually do, you're not mechuyev to do, and follow a stricter opinion during that time. So if you walked out and said, great, Moshe's father came and he told us, yeah, don't worry about this pas Yisrael thing. We're okay, we're all saved, no problem, we eat from Tel Aviv bakery and all these other things. I'm good, I have nothing to worry about, I'll just eat corn chips the whole week. Okay, then you missed the point. Okay, the point, the person had to find something and say, in this thing I want to show the Rebbeinu Shlom on Shabbos and Yontif and the Aser Shem Yitshuva, I'm more careful. That's what I really want to be when I can. That's what I want to do. Okay. Now the last thing is, the Gemara says there's three ways to make food pas Yisrael. Pas Yisrael means a yid had to do with the cooking. Doesn't mean the yid did the whole cooking. The yid had something to do with the baking of this bread. Okay, the Gemara says there's three ways to make food pas Yisrael. And the three ways are, the first is, I don't know if I'm saying them in order of the Gemara. The first, in my order, is the yid takes the bread and he puts it into the oven. Okay, he takes the bread food and he puts it onto the fire. He puts the food onto the fire, that's considered he baked it. To us, that seems like the most obvious one. There was a fire there, okay, there was a fire there. I took the bread or the dough and I stuck it in the oven and I baked it. And that makes it pasisro. So there's an interesting example of that din. An extension of that is as follows. Here in town, I can think of three places that do what I'm about to describe to you. That is, instead of making their bread from flour and water, they don't have any flour and water in that, so to speak, bakery. They have no flour and water. What they do is they get, it's a factory that makes for them breads and bagels and rolls and things like that. But instead of baking it all the way, they only bake it partly. And they're not such an original name, they call it par-baked. Okay, it's partially baked bread. So some place sits with flour and water and all the other ingredients that they need, and they make the bagels and the rolls, and they partially bake them, then they stick them in the freezer, and they send them over to you, the baker, or you, the store, and when you want to serve them to somebody, you put them into the oven, let's say, for another 15 minutes, or another half an hour, whatever long, and it finishes the baking, and then you serve the person a fresh baked roll or bagel. It's fresh because you finished the baking, but you didn't have to patch it with flour and water and yeast and oil and all kinds of things. You just pull it out of the freezer and stick it in the oven. If that food was made originally by a guy, usually the factory that par baked it, there were no yid in the baking over there. So the din is like this. If the food still needs a little bit of baking to be finished, it's not finished being cooked, and the yid does that end baking, the din is a pasis roll. So I can think of three places in town that do that. They sell their baked goods as pasisrol, and it's pasisrol not because they were there from the beginning of the baking, they were there at the end part of the baking that was good enough. Okay? We once had a funny situation where somebody complained, someone complained and said they don't think that it's pasisrol because those foods that they make, they're really fully baked. And the yid is doing nothing, he's just warming them up. Hold on one second. He's doing nothing, he's just warming them up. So we took one of those out of the freezer, and we tried it, and we tasted it, and it tasted awful. It was not fully baked by any stretch of the imagination, okay? And then, when we came back the next day, okay, it was just sitting on my desk. Okay, we came back the next day, okay, to show you how not baked it was, the thing started to rise. You know, when we go outside, it started to rise, so instead of being a bagel that was this big, all of a sudden it was this big, okay? So that was pretty clear that this thing was not baked. Yes. So, at that point, if they made it sort of edible, right now it's not pasisrol. But when the yid finishes the baking, if the yid finishes it to make it fully edible, that's enough to make it pasisrol. The yid if the goy would make it completely edible, then it wouldn't be pasisrol. But if the goy only made it partially edible, and you made it finished edible, then that's pasisrol. Okay, the second is, the Gemara says, the second way to make pasisrol is if the yid lights the fire. Okay, the yid didn't put the food on. The yid just lit the fire. And later came along the guy and baked the bread. That's pasisrol. There's another bakery in town. Okay, in that bakery, their oven stays on all week long. It goes on Matzoy Shabbos and doesn't turn off till Friday. Okay, and what happens is, in that bakery here, one of the local bakeries, on Matzoy Shabbos, when they're ready to start up, a yid comes and turns on the oven. Okay, that oven stays on the whole week. So if the yid put on the oven on Matzoy Shabbos, even though the goyim are putting the dough in and taking the dough out, they're doing all the stuff, that's pasisrol. The Gemara says, if the yid lights the fire, that's pasisrol also. So that's good enough. So who says, very good question, how do you know that the oven stays on? So it happens to be in a local bakery like this, the oven always stays on. Okay? It happens to be in a little bakery, it does, but in a big factory, it's not so clear. Right? In a little place like this, it's easier to tell me the mashgiach drops it and he checks on it, but it doesn't. They don't turn off their ovens. Basically, you can't turn it. You need the oven to stay hot all week. But in a big commercial factory, we have places that need to be on all the time. So what we do is I should have brought one with me. We have a little device. It's like the size of a credit card. It's a thicker than maybe as thick as like four or five credit cards, but it's about the size of a credit card. It's got a little hole in it, and you hang it someplace, and it's a temperature recorder. Okay, this device remembers what temperature it's at. And when the Mashgiach shows up, he takes that device, sticks it into a little port that he has that attaches to his computer. He sticks it in, and he sees a chart that shows him the temperature that it's been at. So you leave that device hanging by the oven, either in or usually right outside the oven, and it tells you if the thing's been on the whole time. If it went off, you would see that all of a sudden, instead of it showing whatever temperature, it shows room temperature. Right? So you could tell, if you know what you're doing, you could tell whether the oven was on or was off during the time. But then, there's another thing, which is, we have... Yes? Well, what it is the Yid lit the fire the first time. And the way we make sure that it stays lit, what he wants to, how do we make sure? We make sure by just a recording process. Yeah, that tells us that it stays on. We know, now we know. Yes?
Do you see these ways of making the package shawl apply if it's your neighbor?
If it was your neighbor, yes. It would work also, yes. Even if it was a guy, a friendly person, not a palta, yes, it would work for those also. The Gemara wasn't talking about it, pass palta. The Gemara was talking about just making passes or anything. Yeah, if it was your neighbor, it would work also. Yeah. Why is that? So the answer is, that I was going to get that in 1 second, but the answer to his question was, if they want you not to be so friendly, how does it help that you lit the fire or you did one of these little things? And the answer to that question is that the Chachamim want to make sure that you realize you can be nice to your neighbor, you can get along with your neighbor, but there's a little separation. So if you know I can only eat your food if we do something, that just says we're a little different from each other. We're not the same. Well, you eat your food and you can give to me, if, like this. That means we're not such buddies. Okay, so Chacham didn't want us to not talk to our neighbors. They just wanted us not be too friendly with our neighbors. So it's like a little separation. That's good enough to make a separation. Now, there's another place, a commercial place at the CRC, where that place, they need their ovens turned on at different times, and they're not like a bakery that keeps their oven on 24 hours a day. So how do they get their fires lit? So somebody came up with a device maybe 20 years ago. First came up with a device, which is, nowadays, it would be obvious to do this, but when he thought of it 20 years ago, it was by no means obvious, which is the fires in this factory are wired to a phone. And the only way to turn the fire on is by someone dialing into a certain number and pressing a code, and that turns on the fire. So Rabbi Oppenheimer gets up early in the morning, and when they need him on those days, and they need him to put it on, and they can't turn on the fire until he lights it, until he calls in. He calls in a number, and whatever, I guess a recording comes on, or a machine comes on, and he presses in a code, and that turns it on. Okay? And he tests them every so often, which is to say, when they ask him to call in, and he doesn't call back. He doesn't call on purpose, okay? To see if they figure out a way to get around his system, you know? Because if he doesn't call in and they keep on cooking, you know, but if he doesn't call in and they scream at him an hour later, where are you, Rabbi? We need you. He knows it. Good. His system is working. Anyhow, so he does this. He calls in and he basically turns it on, okay? And if you wonder if it works, people have stood there. You stand by the machine and you do it from a cell phone, just call in and boom, the thing goes on. It's very much lit by the end. Okay? And the last way is, the last thing Gemara says is you can eat. So the first was the Yid could put the food onto the fire. The second is the Yid could light the fire. And the third is the Gemara says he could just stoke up the coal or stir the pot. Okay, you could just stir it up a little bit. So on that, Rishonim ask, they say, stir it? What does that do? It doesn't bake it at all. It doesn't do anything for the cooking. It's not like lighting a fire. It's not like putting the food onto the fire. What does it do? So that's what I was going to say, what someone asked over here, which is, the answer is, the Chachamim wanted just to have a hecker. They just wanted it to be that there's a... everybody realizes you can't just eat food from the guy. The Yid has to be involved. There has to be a hecker. So if the hecker is even that I stir up the pot, that's enough. I did something. You can't eat this until something happens. And that's enough of a hecker. And a question about that is, but whether it's a hecker is, but also some of the places locally use, a lot of Hashgachas use, is they came up with an idea. What we're going to do is we're going to take... I'm trying to think if you've ever seen this. Have you ever seen in your home oven, when the fire goes on inside the oven, did you ever notice when the fire goes on, first it's like a glow, okay, and then the fire lights up. I don't know if you ever noticed that. Okay, and that is, the way the fire lights up in your oven is, first a glow bar heats up burning hot with electricity, just, it gets heated up, and then the gas passes over and the gas catches on fire. Excuse me, if you have a gas oven, and then the gas catches on fire, and then the glow bar goes out. But a glow—that's what we use here—is a glow bar. It's a little piece of metal or ceramic, and when you pass electricity through it, it glows burning hot. So what they do is they take one of these, a glow bar, they put it into the oven, and they leave it on all the time. They don't just put it on for a few minutes. It stays on 24 hours a day. So that glow bar, the yid lights that, and that little fire that the yid has added is what's called the hashlachas kisein. The yid threw in a little toothpick, a little piece of wood into the fire, and that's a heker, which is to say is. It doesn't do anything for the cooking. It's a tiny little nothing. It's a little bit of heat that's sitting in there. It doesn't do really for the cooking. It's a big oven. It doesn't know how much does it do. But that little glow bar is the heker that says, you can't eat this food, a yid can't, shouldn't eat, wouldn't eat this food unless that fire was lit, and that's good enough.